Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Do your own due diligence thoroughly. Don't ever trust what anyone else tells you.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode, I want to mention Trevor McGregor. Trevor is a real estate results coach. I've been paying him and working with him for years now. He actually is responsible for giving me the idea to do a podcast. So it's not only about transactions that he gives advice on, how to find more deals, how to make more money, but also how to build a holistic plan around your real estate entrepreneurship endeavors. That's what I love about working with Trevor, that and being held accountable for what I say I'm going to do and actually making sure that I follow through and do it. I feel like I'm a pretty results-oriented, accountable kind of person, but it's always nice to have someone who's there guiding you along the way and giving you strategy as well as psychology tips for how to deal with, you know, the things that come up as a real estate entrepreneur. Trevor has made a wonderful offer for the best ever listeners, and that is that he's offering a free coaching session. Go to coachwithtrevor.com. That's coachwithtrevor.com. Highly recommend him. I've worked with him before. I'm currently working with him right now as my business, as my real estate investing coach. Highly recommend you do the same. Take him up on his offer. Get a free coaching session. coachwithtrevor.com. Best ever listeners, hello, hello. Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and this is a show where we don't get into any of the fluffy stuff. We get straight to real estate investing advice and insights that move your business forward that you can apply to make more money and spend your time how you want to spend it. We've spoken to many real estate professionals and entrepreneurs who have given us wonderful best ever advice, and today is no exception. How you doing, Joy Oberholzer?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing great as well, and looking forward to our conversation. Joy is everything but the president, according to her, at Rock On Properties. You can say hi to her and her team at rockonproperties.com. It's her and her husband who are partnering on this venture. It's a recent company, but they've been very active over the last year. They've done 10 total deals within their first year as a company, and that goes from both fix and flips as well as wholesaling deals. She also has properties in her own portfolio. She's based in Scottsdale, Arizona, but those properties are in Tennessee, Texas, as well as Arizona. With that being said, Joy, you want to give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Certainly. Hi, Best Ever listeners. Glad to meet you. My name is Joy, and I'm actually a relatively new real estate investor. I spent 30 plus years in the IT field, traveling around not only the country, but the world, solving other companies' problems for them. Got a little bit tired of traveling and decided that I was going to get into real estate investing. I started out being one of those real estate investors. We all know at least one of those real estate investors who bought a property to turn it into a rental. We overpaid, over-improved, and under-tenanted. And I'm sure all of your listeners have probably dealt with some of those kind of investors.
Yes, I've actually myself overpaid and underestimated the expenses on a property.
Right. And then, of course, those kind of investors are the ones that we all talk to who they overpaid for their property, so they want to oversell their property as well. And those are the ones that we end up not buying. We bought a house in South Scottsdale. We paid about $225,000 for it. Took us 6 months to get it rent ready. Put about $60,000 in improvements into it. And we get about $1,400 a month in rent for that. So that's our 0.5% return on that money. Great, huh? From here, we started our journey to get educated and understand what investing should really look like. I had never done any marketing. And I guess one of the things your Best Ever listeners really need to understand, especially the newbies, which is what I am, is we're not a real estate company. We're a marketing company. As simple as that. You have to be able to nail your marketing to be able to do any transactions. Would you agree with that, Joe?
I would. Yep.
I've learned so much about marketing, and besides getting educated about how to buy real estate right, I've also really learned a lot about learning how to market properly. And I've made some real bad mistakes. Fortunately, I've met some other people who've done the same. I'm dyslexic. The first set of business cards that I actually had printed and shared for about 6 months before I realized it.
Oh, no.
Yes. Can you believe it? I had the numbers switched. Ouch. That hurt. Not only did it hurt, I had everybody else's cards, but they couldn't get in touch with me. So that was my first big marketing mistake that I made. So always have somebody else proof them for you.
Well, yeah, that's certainly one lesson learned. With your deals, the 10 or so that you all have done over the last year, how many of them were fix and flips and how many were wholesale?
I did three wholesales and the rest have been fix and flips.
And what are your thoughts so far for year one on time spent versus return on wholesaling versus fix and flip?
Well, I guess one thing is they're both jobs, right? Neither one of those is really investing. Those are both jobs. You have to keep doing them to have income. I think that as we get into real estate investing, wholesaling is the best way to make quick money so that you can start doing flips. But like everybody else, I mean, I had spent a lot of money trying to get into the business, so I needed to do some wholesales. I'm working in kind of a rural area. There's a huge amount of competition in the Phoenix market. So I've kind of picked a little different niche to work in. And my buyers list is pretty small, so I have to be pretty selective about what I'm trying to wholesale. Otherwise, it's going to end up either falling out of contract or falling in my plate. It took me a while to build up the ability to start doing fix and flips because I'm working in this kind of unusual market, finding resources there took me a while. But I think that you have to start out probably, unless you've got money or you're money rich, you have to start out probably wholesaling.
Have you taken the fix and flips full circle with the selling of a couple of them that you've done?
Yeah, I actually have three that I've sold, one that's on the market right now, and three that we're doing right now.
So with the ones that you've sold already, comparing those, the profits on those to the profits on wholesaling, then looking at how much time you spent, which one are you making more money on your time?
Oh, I would say wholesaling.
Can you, do you have like a couple examples, one of each?
I picked up a property. I picked it up for $50,000. I sold it for $60,000 in a day.
Hmm.
So that's not a bad number.
What was it? How'd you find the property?
They found me. Bandit signs.
Okay. So they found you, they called you, and how'd the conversation go?
It was my first call. I was very, very nervous, and it was kind of interesting. She called me and we talked. I knew exactly what their bottom line number was. I mean, she told me they had credit problems. They had bought this house. They were up to their ears in credit problems. They just needed out. They just needed the mortgage paid off. They needed it to go away. She basically just told me exactly what their numbers were. It took me about a week to get to her because she was actually in this this market that I go to about once a week. And people live different ways, right? I don't know, and maybe some of your best ever listeners do, but I don't feed my cats at the same table that I eat at. And so the house was distressed in addition to the people being distressed. But the conversation went really well. I was surprised. I've never been in that situation. So it really surprised me, but it went really well. And it was a really clean transaction.
It took you a week to get a hold of or to meet at the property, right?
Correct.
Were you worried at all during that week that she'd be calling other people and then you'd lose the deal?
You know, I was. And she did actually call somebody else. And when I went to the house, we talked and she even said, well, my husband talked to this other guy. And I said, well, and they said, so we'd like to give him a chance to, you know, to meet the offer. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, they did. They called him and he, same situation because, you know, we're talking about a market an hour away. And he basically told him exactly that. Well, you know, if you've got a deal, just take it.
So he told them that he'd be there, what, a week, in a week? Or I don't understand exactly what you just said.
No, basically what he said was, that's not really an area I work in. So if you've got an offer on the table, I recommend you take it.
Oh, he told them to take the offer.
Yeah.
Got it. Because he doesn't work in that market. Okay. I'm with you. And were you there at that time?
Yes.
With her?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And did she call anybody else besides that guy?
No. No, it was the two of us.
So once you got there and you got the deal, then did you already have a buyer's list or a buyer that you had in mind?
I did have a buyer. I had a buyer who bought in that area. Yes. So, and it was one call to him and he took it.
And what were the numbers, the projected numbers on it for him?
You know, I'll have to look. They basically painted the pig and I believe that they put it on the market then for like, I'm going to say 80, but I don't know exactly because I didn't continue to follow it.
Okay. Okay. Curious. With the fix and flip, what's an example of fix and flip that you've done?
I've got one that's on the market right now, cute little house. It was came to me as a FSBO and I picked that one up for 50. We put about 10 into it. It's on the market right now for 80 and it's only been on the market for I think 7 days now. We had a period here, which is really unusual for us, but we actually had a week of rain here. So we didn't get a lot of showings the first week, but starting to get nice again. So hoping that one moves quick.
You bought it for $50,000, put in $10,000, so all in your 60 plus miscellaneous closing costs and things. How long did it take you to, how long has it been since you initially acquired it?
We put it on the market at 80, I'm going to say 85 days so that it was seasoned basically by the time it hit the market. So 90 days.
Oh, okay. So 90 days, basically it's been 90 days since you first bought it?
Correct.
Okay. Cool. And what'd you do with that $10,000? How was it allocated?
That was basically flooring, paint, and windows. So, this house was, the man who lived in it, he loved his house. He lived there since he bought it, and it had amazing, avocado and burnt orange carpet in it. So we did put some new tile floors in there.
Yeah. That's a very, very particular taste.
Right.
What's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Know your market inside and out. Do your own due diligence thoroughly. Don't ever trust what anyone else tells you. Do this on every property you look at. Do this on any realtor you plan on using. Do this on everything you do.
When you say know your market inside and out, can you describe exactly what you mean by inside and out?
Know everything about it, what that market does. I have a good example of a very expensive education I got. We actually, I had an investor-friendly realtor who brought me a property. He was a newbie investor. That was my first mistake. He was actually a newbie realtor, and that was my first mistake. It was an REO house that was listed on the MLS, and it was incorrectly posted as a two-bedroom, two-bath house, when in fact it really was a four-bedroom, three-bath house. So it should have been a moneymaker. What I didn't know was that this particular submarket that this house is in, it's Fountain Hills here in the Valley. It's actually not in the Valley. It's Fountain Hills. But it actually has the number two slowest turnover in Maricopa County behind Paradise Valley, which happens to be the most expensive area here. So that was mistake number two, was buying a property in a market that takes a long time to move.
And is there turnover, not, there's a slow turnover because people are staying in their property or because there's no demand?
It's a particular demand is very particular. So although it's in Maricopa County, it's not really considered in the Valley. And yeah, it just has a tendency for properties to sit on the market for a long time. And it took us a year to sell that property. That was a very costly education.
So now do you look at just average days on market for the comps?
Look at average days on market, but I attend my RIA and I look at the graphs. I look at how long do properties sit on market in any particular submarket.
Okay. So you look at average days on market for all the different submarkets that you're investing
in.
Okay. What's something surprising that's happened to you in this real estate venture over the last year that you weren't expecting from a real estate standpoint?
I'm so new, it's that nothing has really surprised me too much. But I mean, so many people say you can get into this with no money. I guess you could if you want to stand on a corner with a sign that says I buy houses, but it's been pretty expensive, it seems like, for us to actually really get into this as far as, you know, getting marketing out there. Maybe I've done it incorrectly because I had such a limited background in marketing, but that's why I really hammer it to people. It's like real estate is our product, but marketing is our business. Mm-hmm.
What do you spend money on for marketing?
Business cards, envelopes, stamps. Stamps are, you know, two mailers, that's $1 a piece, right? So postcards. I don't find that postcards are very effective. I find that letters are much more effective, but then just getting the quantity out there.
What type of response rate have you had on letters versus postcards?
Postcards I've had almost no response rate on. I do a kind of an expensive mailer. For Christmas, I did an expensive mailer, and in one day, I sent out, I sent out 1,500 pieces, and in one day, I got 33 calls.
Wow, over Christmas?
Before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. What was the date when you sent it out? Do you remember?
I was dropping some, and then I had some other people dropping them as well, but we started dropping them about the 10th of December, and then it was like the 21st of December was the day that I just was overwhelmed with calls. I couldn't keep up with them. I'm still getting back to them.
Wow. How many total did you when you say drop, does that mean you put in the mail?
Yes.
Okay. How many total did you mail?
1,500.
1,500. And how many total calls?
I've got 63 calls of people who were interested in selling, and that doesn't include the other, 70 people who weren't interested in selling. So,
yeah. Wow. That's close to, almost a 10% return or a response rate.
So here's my recommendation to people at Target. If you're doing them yourself, which, if you're not doing them yourself, that's great. But if you're doing them yourself, which I am, at Target for $15, I can get 200 colored envelopes with little postcard like inserts that go inside them. And so colored, right? Handwritten, all the things they tell you, handwritten gets opened. Colored, I think, even gets a better open rate. And that's not a bad price. That's a penny an envelope.
Do you handwrite all 1,500 or do you write a couple and then copy it?
As far as the letters,
yeah.
I write one and copy it.
Okay, got it. Very, very interesting. Very, very, very interesting in that, learning how you're going about this and the different results that you're seeing based on what you're sending out. Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Absolutely.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016. Best ever book you've read?
Choosing Your Own Greatness by Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's very, very much aligned with Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, but your thoughts are your life. You make your own reality. We create our own reality. If you think somebody doesn't like you, that's your thoughts, not theirs. Success is a mindset.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
I tried to hire an administrative assistant, and I kept hiring people too quickly, and I fired them too slowly. It cost me a lot of time and a lot of money. I finally hired right, but what I would say from that is, if you're hiring, hire slow and fire fast. Surround yourself with successful people and identify the eagles who soar and let the ducks who hang out in the pond just quack away by themselves.
I have a very vivid picture of what you just painted, so thank you for that. I feel like I'm on the farm again in Texas. Where did you find your admin? The one that you hired?
The one that I hired, I do most of my advertising on Craigslist, and that's where I got her.
Where did you find the ones that you didn't enjoy working with?
Same place, Craigslist.
Craigslist. And what's the compensation that you have for the admin?
Anywhere from 12 to 20 an hour.
And that varies based on what, performance bonuses or?
Varies based on experience, what they're bringing to the table. And yeah, and some of them who claim to be bringing things to the table, they sat at a different table than I did, I guess.
What are some of the primary responsibilities that your administrative assistant has right now?
Keeping me organized. I start getting really busy and end up piling papers, and it's a really bad thing, because then here it is tax season and here I am trying to, straighten out piles of papers. It just doesn't work.
Best ever deal you've done?
Personally, marrying my husband. He's a wonderful person. Business-wise, hiring my current project manager, who can walk a property and immediately know exactly what needs to be done and doesn't need to be done. She's brilliant. Realizing that hiring a good, competent resource frees your time up to make more money.
Is that the same person that we were just talking about?
Yes. So she's moved from being my admin, which I'm now looking for another admin. She's moved from being my admin to being my project manager.
Okay. Got it. Best ever way you like to give back?
I spent a lot of time mentoring new investors and helping them get started. I share educational materials, marketing materials, and ideas. I've spent hundreds of hours sharing what I've learned with others who are trying to break into real estate investing. discussing fear with people and telling stories, what I've learned over the last year or so.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate so far?
Trusting others and not paying attention. It's my business. I need to pay attention.
Can you tell us a story behind that?
Well, I think that kind of relates back to the one earlier where I had a newbie realtor who, you know, brought me this deal and it was in the wrong market and I didn't do my due diligence. That was my bad. I should have been paying attention.
And then I'm just curious on your personal portfolio. You have properties in Texas, Tennessee, and Arizona. How'd you come across the ones in Texas and Tennessee since they're not in your hometown?
Those actually we had acquired before we actually got into quote unquote real estate investing. We decided to take about 5 years ago, we decided to take some of our money out of the market and put it into real estate. So those are passive holds that we purchased. I'm actually looking at liquidating those now that I do know how to buy right. I'm actually looking at liquidating everything that I'm holding except for one property I purchased last year and investing that money properly as opposed to investing it in the 0.5% return house.
And how did you find those properties, the ones in Texas and Tennessee?
There's a company that I have worked with, and for passive holds, I think they do a great job. And they've got, do you mind if I say their name? Or
yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
Memphis Invest and Texas Invest. I've had very, very good, I've had very good experience with them. They are a real estate investment firm, and they pick up the properties. And for people who are looking for passive income, 7 to 10%, they do a great job.
Chris Clothier from Memphis Invest and Texas Invest. He's been a guest on the show, episode number 58, titled Turning Smiles into Profits.
Yep.
And he actually inspired, after I spoke to him on that interview, he inspired me to include what's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate, because he talks about in this interview, episode 58, how he always asks his business partners if his potential business partners, what their biggest mistake is in real estate. And if they say, I don't have one, then he goes the other direction because they've either not been in the real estate game long enough or they're not being truthful. And then there's also, the mentality of, well, I don't consider them mistakes because I've learned from them. And that's understandable. I mean, I have that same mentality, but there's also things that when presented the same opportunity again, we'd make a different choice knowing what we know now. And that's kind of what he was getting at. So I'm very familiar with Chris and a fan of his company as well.
Yep. Great guys.
What's the best ever place the best ever listeners can reach you?
They can reach me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or at joy@rockonproperties.com.
Great. Well, Joy, thank you for being on the show and sharing your advice with best ever listeners and talking about your start in the real estate field over this last year with your husband and how your focus on fix and flips and wholesales, the comparison between the two from a time and money standpoint. Looks like wholesaling is getting you more money for the time invested, which I find interesting and not surprising. And then the focus that you have on marketing in particular, I love how you gave us the suggestions that are working for you on direct mail with the envelopes and buying the postcard inserts from Target that are colored, and then you do the handwritten ones. And then lastly, the administrative assistant and how you're scaling your company. It's a year old, but you're still continuing to scale the company. I've already essentially promoted within because the initial administrative assistant is now a project manager, and now you're hiring for another. So thanks so much for being on the show, sharing these insights with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a best ever day.
Thank you, Joe. You as well.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the Best Ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016.